Red on Red.
This week on the podcast, we're joined by Corkonian alt rockers Pretty Happy.
When you deep and dive out.
to get around you.
Newly remonikered The Love Buzz with Hold Me Only Lonely, and Laura Duff with lead-off single Up To You. This is Red On Red, Cork's new music podcast, dropping every Wednesday evening via Cork's Red FM and redextra.ie. We're also available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify and other podcasting platforms. My name is Mike McGrath-Bryan, and this week on the podcast we're joined in studio by noisy, alt-rock, inflected, weirdo power trio, or should I say two-thirds of weirdo power trio. Pretty Happy, joined by Abby Blake.
Hello.
And Aaron Blake.
Hello, yeah.
And you've had a busy couple of weeks of it, gigging-wise, and it's all heading up now to Independence Festival, having this weekend at Deer Farm in Mitchelstown.
Yeah, that's it.
It's been busy, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been weird. It's like, you get to that point as a band, like, you don't think you're doing anything, and it's like, oh, geez, you get to the point, it's like, oh, we'll pack it in, we have no gigs, and then you have 2 weeks of just onslaught. And you don't ever want to play a gig again.
Yeah, you just always don't have the stamina for it.
No, like I mean, you kind of have to, I suppose you build yourself up for it. But like the gigs are great, but it's always, you want what you can't have. Like, you know, you want to be resting once you're gigging, you want to be gigging once you're resting. But no, we're having a great run of gigs at the moment.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Nice. Yeah, it is really nice. Mm. Those last few gigs were, I don't know, kind of mad. We had our first headline in Cork. We kind of usually stray away from headlines and stuff, so it was nice that we got such a good kind of reception. Mm. We had it unplugged, like, Jim is great to deal with. And
yeah,
like
Jim,
the place
doing,
was at capacity. It was like so amazing to see, because we never run our own gigs, you know, we've the kind of same crowd coming to like our sports slots. We're together a good, what, year and a half, two?
No, 2 years now, I think.
Coming up to 2 years in September, I think.
And I think that's the thing with the Cork, like going on, you said there, the Cork scene, it's like you, we did a lot of support slots and we didn't do a lot of headlines, but it's like I think there's a fierce you have a fierce propensity to oversaturate once you're gigging in Cork, because it's the
for
same
sure,
crowd
yeah.
the same couple of venues, and
we were like tending to gig with the kind of same bands, the same kind of scene, so I think we wanted to break away with that with our headline as well. Mm-hmm. So that's why we got Land Crabs in, who had like it was their first gig after about a year of being apart. And I always love Land Crabs because I think their energy has been kind of crazy, like
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So I thought two of us would go well together, which was quite cool to see. It was kind of like such a selfish reason to get them. I just wanted to see them.
That's what you're in it for, is to kind of book stuff to see, to make the changes that you want to see happen yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll talk a little bit about your roundy gig in a little while, but first, you know, dialing back those 2 years, mm-hmm. you've accomplished a lot in that time. But maybe talk to us a little bit about how Pretty Happy came together. Does your sibling relationship kind of factor into it at all?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And what the kind of the idea was at first?
Yeah, I mean,
we kind of always tipped away together, didn't we?
We always tipped away, because it was always like a thing. Our dad is a drummer, and he played with an 80s outfit called Idle Joy. And they were kind of, I suppose, new wave, post-punk kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he was always drumming. He got like an electric drum kit, so we'd always like hear him playing drums. So I suppose you talk about the kind of maybe passing it down. But then I was gigging myself in bands, kind of playing bass, doing a bit of singing. But yeah, myself and Abby always did something. And I think even...
like random bits as
random
well.
Random things, but it's funny because you never think about things like that. I even had the attitude at the time, even starting off, like me and Abby do things, and Abby started off playing acoustic guitar and we do kind of cutesy gigs. Like we did a gig in Starbucks.
Yeah, our first two gigs were me and Aaron in Starbucks.
Like. Yeah, with an ex-girlfriend of mine completing the outfit, like our three-piece.
Or we were called Gooza, because I was the third wheel.
yeah, that was it. And
they were ridiculous gigs.
Oh, we did like we did terrible covers. We did a cover of Boys Don't Cry, but Abby did the guitar line on like a MIDI keyboard, and it was like a flute.
It was like
a flute sound. It was like do. It was sounded awful. But
so
yeah,
cringy.
I suppose Abby started learning electric. Then we played one gig as a band called Space Ghettos, and that's the joke there, Space Ghettos, but it's a Scottish person saying Spice Girls.
If you say well, Spice Girls in a Scottish accent. Space it sounds Skittles. Like American saying Space Skittles.
Yeah, that was the
space
one.
Space Skittles.
Yeah, Skittles. But yeah, no, we did that, and our dad was drumming with us for that, and we kind of gigged with that.
Everything about this is so adorable.
We've had so many people come up to us, and it's like, oh my god, you're so cute. And that's probably what pushed us to get so fucking angry with the live shows.
Yeah.
But it's so wholesome in that respect.
I suppose, yeah.
How it all kind of came together, and it might be sickening, but that's also like something really endearing. But let's talk about then getting aggressive and getting noisy and getting angry. Kind of, what's that first thing that kind of drives you toward taking the noise rock direction?
I suppose, well, first of all, we got Andy on board, which is kind of a weird story. He moved to London for the summer, and Aaron was like, here, we need a drummer, and we were friends with Andy. He didn't know how to play drums, so he learned for us.
I was going to say there, it was weird, because it was always like, Abby was like, oh, we should start a band. And, like, it's like a thing where it's like, you're like, oh, I'm going to start a band now with a person that doesn't know how to play drums and my little sister. And in my head,
I didn't know how to play guitar.
And it was like, oh, this isn't going to pan out at all. We got to it anyway.
It was never a serious thing either.
No,
it was kind of
never.
Like, ah, yeah, we should jam with Andy. That'll be fun. And we
got offered a gig, and offered a gig in work because they thought it was my old band, and I was like, oh, I have a new band, that where the drummer had never probably touched the drum kit, and Abby
was
still
in London.
Yeah, in London, nowhere near a drum kit for 3 months. He was like, yeah, no, I can play that. We quickly cobbled together
a half hour set,
and we opened for a metal gig. So right. That was our start, but
in Fred's, yeah.
I suppose, like, even from the start, though, we were quite noisy and rocky and punky.
I think that was down to me refusing to learn guitar theory.
Yeah.
So I was really into effects because I don't have to learn amazing stuff if I make noise. You know what I mean? That kind of happened. And I suppose Andy kind of loved the weirdness.
Yeah.
And then we just progressively got weirder, I think, and more kind of theatrical. I think as well it was kind of weird when we started gigging. I remember that first gig, me and Andy were so nervous because Andy didn't know how to play drums and I didn't know how to play guitar. But like since then, we've never kind of went out to book a gig. Since then, I think they liked, we had all originals for that half hour slot, which was fucking tough to pull together.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's a matter of verse, chorus, verse.
No, but that's what, like, and that's why it was tough. We kind of, from the start, I don't think we liked first chorus, and that's why, with talkative things like that, I suppose. But that was just kind of getting used to things. But we weren't, like, trying to get five songs out quick, first chorus, three chord tricks. Like, we had ideas, like, you know, and we were trying to go for them. We just spent a lot of time on it, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, we had that kind of end of summer as well to just
take a couple of days, a couple of good hours.
We'd practice a couple of times a week, and it was more of a hangout thing because we never took it seriously. We were like, no, we won't be gigging. And then randomly, we'd just be offered more metal gigs. And then we started to get into the kind of Cork college scene, I suppose, with kind of Happy Lone and Ghost King and The Love Buzz.
Yeah.
So
we were playing a lot of them. Like, that was very early on. We were playing with Happy Lone when they were like Joyriders.
You know, that set of originals you cobbled together for your first gig, you know, forms the foundation of your earliest singles. You know, you have a couple of singles off the top, like The Lover off the top of my head for one. Maybe talk to us a little bit about some of those earliest gigging experiences and kind of refining singles as live things more so than in studio.
It was kind of weird. I think a lot of it, it did go down well, but I think our earlier gigs did go down well, but I think to a different kind of crowd than we have now. I think a lot of it was me and Andy getting used to our instruments and just kind of, I think three of us forming that band as well, of just like hanging out all the time.
Yeah, and it took that time. I mean, it was like, I think we've gotten to, with our new like set of songs now, I think we've gotten to a really collaborative state, and I think that's always something I stress in a band as well, because I know, and it works for some people when you have, like, you know, the people, the band leaders who write the parts for everyone, and people come on as the sessioners, like, but I really do like the collaborative thing of, like, letting people, like, you know, everyone has an input on the song, and bringing a song in, you have an idea and it's completely changed by the end of it because everyone's having their say. I suppose like early on, like we were gigging our songs and straight away you just know, and I think that's the best way. And we, like besides like weird interludes, we never kind of just write for recording. We always gig them for a couple of months, like, or to a year first. Like, well, that's what we've done because...
Yeah, I think that's just how it naturally happened. And I suppose, I think after a few months, we were like, we better just get something out online instead of word of mouth about our band. Mm. And Andy was getting into producing. So our easiest one that I suppose we could all tackle for a certain recording was Talkative, which we absolutely... I don't think it sounds like us at all, you know.
It's funny, like, you go through, I suppose that was very early on, it was like the first guitar riff you wrote, and ever. You just kind of did it.
My first guitar riff
and
ever, like.
You can see some influence in that, where it's like, we're kind of trying to go for this kind of sound, it's very light, it's almost like very stripped back, Pretty Happy Now, where it's chords, and I still think it's a nice song, but it's just...
pre-pedal me as well.
Yeah, no, but it's very kind of bright sounding, and it's very, I suppose, fucking, I was even trying to do a Strokesy thing with the vocals, and it's like very... You know, it's not us writing a song for the first time, I suppose. And
it's us feeling out each other, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, completely.
I think The Lover is kind of the same.
Yeah, I thought that got... It was getting heavier, but it's like... I think even then...
It The Lover record doesn't sound like how the live version sounded either. Like, the live version was like a 7-odd minute song.
See, that was
like the stupid long solo.
It's like there's this really weird, it's almost kind of funny, like, we have this very long outro to The Lover and
Mason
Aim.
Oh, you
mock
me so
much.
It's
almost like, but,
it's my first, like, time using a delay pedal for that song, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. I'll just tap a note and it'll ring, like, I thought it was amazing. I had this stupid, like, 2-minute long solo that, you slay me over now.
I think it's the weird thing with Pretty Happy because it has gone well, and you know, it's gone better than like most things I've done in a band. Like, it's, you know, we're doing quite well, we're freaking gigging, we're getting festival offers, and it's like, it's weird when you kind of see that because you can kind of see us learning, if you know what I mean. It's like it's a chart course of us, like, if we had a single layer, you see us kind of evolving as we get more used to each other and our kind of sound and what we want to sound like.
A big part of the development of Pretty Happy Sound is, as you attested to, Abby, Pedal Abby coming out of the shadows.
Yeah, yeah.
And just even seeing you there at Mallow Arts Festival there early in the week, just the amount of destruction that you're pulling out of different configurations with your instrument.
Yeah.
And making weird noises. Like, that has been so key to the development of Pretty Happy in the last year or so. Kind of talk to us a little bit about how you happened across, you know, different aspects and the creation of different textures. In the stuff that's been heard in Ego No Ego?
I suppose I really loved, I'm going to get so slayed of this, I really loved The Ocean by U2.
Yeah.
That guitar riff. So I set out and bought a delay pedal. I think you got me a delay pedal.
Yeah.
As like a birthday present. I think, was it my 17th, 18th birthday or something?
Yeah.
Aaron got me a delay pedal. And I kind of didn't use it for a while, and then I just picked it up and found out I could do absolutely weird things with it.
Yeah.
And I kind of hate using reverb and stuff on an amp. I don't know why. I like my set tone.
Yeah.
And then one day I was just kind of messing around. It started getting weirder, and I was just on YouTube. And in my suggested, Knobs is a really cool YouTube channel that goes through pedals. And it was The Rainbow Machine by Earthquaker. And I just thought this was like fucking weirdest, coolest thing, and I bought that, and that's definitely what changed my sound. Like,
I think what's funny with Abby's sound as well is because very early on, like, and that was just like, and well, we don't say we don't have awful band fights, but I was saying I'd be awful towards Abby because it's like, I think, and that's why we kind of fucking stick together, I suppose, in terms of a band in 2 years, and like, we're a very tight knit band in terms of, like, obviously we're siblings, but Andy as well is fucking one of our closest friends. But it's like, we, like, I, and then, sorry, when you're siblings, like, you can be more open with each other, but you kind of, you snipe at each other easily, so I would
Aaron was way harder on me than
I was always
Andy,
harder
yeah,
on Abby
yeah.
to be like, and I would always say, you need to start learning pentatonic scales. so you can do a guitar solo. And like, she'd be like, I don't want to learn pentatonic scales. And
I don't like how they sound.
Yeah, I was like, you're lazy. She was like, no. And it's like, every time a pentatonic like blues solo comes on in a song, Abby just goes, eugh. You know what I mean? She just doesn't like that.
It's just not my style. And yeah, Aaron would always kind of, you have to learn a bit of theory. I said, no, I kind of like doing it by ear. I like this absolute weirdness. And it took Andy to like tell Aaron to cop on. And like,
yeah, but that
I
was
like
it.
Her
I
sound mean, too.
I think at the moment it's like Abby's guitar doesn't sound like a guitar most of the time.
No, and she it sounds like an implement of destruction.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
I think it is finding these weird pedals. Like my favourite brand is definitely Earthquaker. I have that transmitter pedal as well. That is just unbelievable, weird reverb kind of.
But that's what I'm saying. Even like that, like you use that in like our newest song, Delicious, and it's like you do a verse and it sounds more like a choir singing than a guitar. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff I do like when it's like you hear a guitar and it doesn't. Well, like, you know, I got into it now, and that's, I suppose that's where the noise comes from as well.
Yeah.
It is just, we got to that point where it was just, it is just everything going in the same key. And it's such a great way of kind of expelling the bad juju out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just everyone's just hitting the same thing and we're all just playing, all screaming and shouting and just crying and just everything's just coming out of you. Like, it's just,
I think it's all our different influences. I think I kind of like connecting with Andy on songs and stuff like that. My first instrument was the drums. When I was like 10, my dad bought me an electric drum kit and I was going to be the drummer because he was a drummer. Like, I played at my nan's 60th this weird drum solo on the stage in a like gammy Northside pub, rotten upstairs, like nearly getting, I don't know, everyone shooting looks, my nan like crying because I played her a drum solo. But
it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, she did a weird drum solo. You know, it was one of those, you know, where the drum electric drum kit had a big band voice.
Yeah.
So it was like doo 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 bam bam bam. It was like she hit the cymbal and a saxophone would play.
It was had tiny arms. I was just like beating the shit out of this drum kit. It was ridiculous. But I think a lot of my guitar style is kind of rhythm. Mm. And Andy's an absolute music nerd. Like, he's so annoying when it comes to writing songs. He's just like, oh, if we skip a beat there and go into this weird tempo, it'll be funny.
Yeah,
that's it. I love, that's kind of Andy's writing as well, and I love him so much. And that's, I think that's where we come from the vocals and the composition itself. Like, we, like a lot of our vocals, I think, like I sing sometimes and we all sing sometimes, but it's like, it's just weird rants and weird voices and just like, oh,
because we're like,
you know,
oh, that would be quite stupid or funny.
Yeah,
that might freak people out. That would be hilarious.
Like Andy puts in a, you know, he skips a beat, he'd do a 3-4 just for a second. And I'd be like, why do you want to do that? It's like, oh, it's funny because it's stupid if we just went into a different time signature just once, just now, right here.
Never again. Andy just will not let us repeat things anymore.
Yeah.
I think he's PTSD from talkative. Like.
Yeah.
Is he keeping you on your toes though in that respect?
Oh, I think we all do though. Like Andy, for sure. Andy will absolutely kill us. Aaron, I remember a few weeks ago, we had this 1.5 minute song. And Aaron was like, this could really be a 4 minute song for the set, lads. And Andy lost the plot. Like, shut up. Like, you can't. It's a 1.5 minute song or else it'll be boring. Do you want people to listen to it that for 4 minutes? How dare you? Like,
but I think it comes with it. I think we all do keep each other on our toes. And it is that kind of thing. And you need to, like I said, us with siblings and us being so close to Andy, it's like we need to come into like the room and writing. And sometimes it gets like a bit, it's being able to be a bit weird for a second, because it's like someone comes in with a riff and it's, everyone's kind of quiet. And it's like, no, yeah, that was shit. Like, you know, and it's like just
we kill each other.
Yeah, no.
We're not afraid to go, that was fucking awful. Get out for a while and come back with something new.
Yeah, yeah. But so, like, once you have that level of kind of, you won't put up with kind of mediocreness and just have a filler song, I think that's a good level where you're just like, no. But yeah, I think we all keep each other on our toes in that respect.
Sure, yeah.
From the internal end to the external, naturally, you know, having been involved in the scene for about 2 years now and being here at a time of change, venue turnover, but also involvement in the art scene in Cork externally. Aaron, you're heavily involved in Cork's young theatre scene. Abby, of course, you've been here before for the Angry Moms Collective.
Mm-hmm.
That episode is available for streaming now on all of your podcasting apps and at redextra.ie. Maybe talk to us a little bit about your take on the scene in Cork City at present for the arts, and in terms of how, you know, the current wave of young musicians, young artists, etc., how the kind of different people practicing in different media, and I suppose really how the crossovers are at present between them all.
I think it's kind of funny. See, I've always had this thing, and I think every young Irish person getting involved in the arts has this thing that it's like, the minute you're born into Ireland, it's like one big small town, and you go, oh, if I'm going to do anything, I need to get the hell out of Ireland. And it's a weird emigration, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, like, it's a mindset of, I just need to get out. If I'm going to succeed, I need to get out.
Or you have to get to Dublin, that's it, yeah.
Dublin is another thing. But even then, Dublin's, like, a bigger version of Cork in that way.
Yeah.
And it's just been recently that I've been so surprised at the amount of talent I've seen in the last few years with Cork. And I've only been really getting involved in the creative scene properly in the last 2 or 3 years. And it's been unbelievable. And it's, I think I said it to you before in passing, or even in an article, like, that it's getting the platform.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the conversation about creating the platform versus should a platform be provided for the artist. Like, I mean, in general, like, we'll say for theatre, for example, you know, there's not a lot of theatres in Cork for young people to get a chance and to put on a show. And I remember I complained about that, and I, but then again, you kind of do have to make your own opportunity. And that's, you know, we're doing a show at the moment, and it is with Dramat. And I will say, like, a big shout out to UCC Dramat. It does, like, it helps young people interested in theatre have a taste of what it's like to actually be in a professional production. Like, you know, they pay for your production to be made. Like, I write my own plays, so I've, you know, this is the set I'm putting on a play at the moment. It's the second play I've put on with them. My first play, it was just, you know, they paid for the set, they paid for everything, and you just feel like, oh my God, something I've written or something I've been in is given this, like, professional treatment. But I suppose you come out of that a bit spoiled, and once you actually come out into the scene without this college society, we're doing something at the moment, like, with Dramat, and it's a specific piece in a bar, and I think that's what young creative people do, or young creative people have to do, is kind of create their own opportunity in terms of that. And it's like guerrilla theatre. I suppose it's the same with gigs as well, in terms of music. Like, you know, it's just, because we complain about, like, you know, a lack of venues in Cork, but we need to kind of, you know, at the end of the day, sorry, yeah, I get into arguments with myself about the topic, because it's like trying to find, you know, being like, oh, I wish I could play around Cork and have an appropriate like platform for my art, but also it's like having enough get up and go to make it happen.
I think that's the industry as well, though. If you are going to get into the art scene, you have to have a thick skin and that drive, that kind of passion to really push yourself for it.
But speaking of creating platforms, obviously the Angry Mom Collective has done a whole bunch more since we brought you in for that podcast a few months back, including an exhibition inside in the Friary, a Midsummer exhibition, more gigs, more table quizzes, etc., etc. I suppose maybe talk to us about how things have changed for Angry Moms in the last couple of months and how things have picked up.
I think I was talking about the support last time. Just everyone who kind of helped has been unbelievable. I think starting that conversation and, you know, having that dialogue is very, very important. And I do see little changes, like even with Aaron and Annie in the band, you're more aware now of me, how I'm being treated. You were always good for that, in fairness. They always were there in a heartbeat to back me up. But it's not just one case. I think it shows that it's an ongoing problem. And it is creating that awareness, because I've noticed with you, you're more like on the lookout for people in crowds that may feel uncomfortable, safe spaces. And I think other bands have been too. Like, there's been people who've come up to me saying, yeah, I'm on the lookout now. And even everyone in the local scene coming to events. Like, and the accessibility. I remember we had that interview for Golden Plec recently. and we were talking about kind of young people or young girls afraid to go to gigs on their own and stuff like that. And honestly, Aidan Lynch is your man. He's been to probably every Angry Mom event. He's the most approachable guy. If you want to go to a gig, he'll more like than likely be at it. Approach him and he'll have a dance with you, you know what I mean? He'll welcome you with open arms. And like, even any of us, we're all going to be approachable. There's like, the scene is lovely. I hate that anytime I talk about Angry Mom or the Cork scene, it's not in a negative way, but it's highlighting issues I've had with it or issues queer people might have with it. And honestly, the Cork scene is amazing. It should be celebrated more. I hate that. I don't want to speak negatively about it all the time. I don't think I do. I'm trying to better it. But it is, there's some great people there. Like, there really is, you know.
I think one thing as well I would say is like that. One thing when you're talking to me about the Angry Mom and your whole, like, you know, your whole MO there is that I think a lot of girls, and I was talking to girls at Angry Mom events, and they say, like, oh, like, these gigs are boys clubs. Like, you go and you just don't. And, like, it's a very unconscious thing. You can actually make a place exclusive, like, you know, or just because you're just there. Because it's, like, imagine...
It's an absent-minded thing.
Like, it's an absent... Like, I think sometimes... But obviously, sometimes it's very meant and people are just assholes about gigs and just exclusive crowd. You're always going to have that. But sometimes you go into a gig and it's a load of lads, like, crossing their arms and you just go, Jesus, this isn't an open atmosphere. And then, like, it takes you to go up to the lads and be like, you're very exclusive at the moment. They go, oh, really? Sorry, I didn't... You know, it can be an unconscious exclusivity.
Yeah, like, that's why raising awareness is so important. You know what I mean? Because, like, everyone I've... Like, all, like, when I said the lads, it's, like, everyone we gig with, like, the Teletex lads and kind of, like, Gilbert and stuff. They're all lovely, lovely people, like, and made me feel so welcome. Because it was so daunting when I first started gigging. It's all lads 3-4 years older than me. And I'm just going in going, how's it going? Like, I don't know you. You're all friends with Aaron and Andy. But, like, they're lovely. They just started, like, I don't know, slagging me straight away.
Every individual one of those guys are so sweet. Like, and you could talk away to them. But it's like, I've had, like, people come up to me even then in that respect and say, yeah, I was so intimidated by you because you were all just sitting there. I was like, it's like you have to not give off that vibe, but it's like I was so surprised by that. But it is an unconscious thing, and I do realise I was giving off this thing that I was just sitting with people and not being.
I think you were pretty good in the scene.
You kind of have to go out of your way to kind of welcome in new people, I think, but you have to always be conscious of
it. I think you're more talking about clickiness than anything, though. Which I didn't see. I've seen it more in other scenes. I thought you've always been approachable.
Fair enough.
Especially the Teletex lads as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They're lovely guys. Like,
when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Ego No Ego, your EP, available now across all streaming services. But first, we're going to go back to some more tunes. Earlier on, we heard From The Love Buzz and Laura Duff. And coming up, you're treating us to last week's guest, his last single, Thursday, ahead of the release of his upcoming second single, Showbiz Baby.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
JJ is a wizard in terms of morality and music.
You also have Gilbert or The Unfathomable Loneliness of the Deep Space Prospector with Corpse's Orbit.
Jesus Christ, they're probably one of my favourite bands ever.
Like. I went to their gig and it was a religious experience. I was holding my hands up. I was juking. You know, it was unbelievable. Yeah, the lads are just.
But the album launched at the Roundy.
Yeah,
oh my. I saw you dancing alright.
Yeah. No, I was dancing alright. I was dancing. I came up to him. I was like, I've seen Stevie Nicks, I've seen Tom Petty, this was my favourite. And lads were, oh, cheers.
You were quite drunk, were you?
No, I actually wasn't. It was drunk on good vibes.
Oof.
And we'll hear from Gilbert momentarily, but first, this is JJ Lee with Thursday, here on Red On Red.
Thank you. known as the Killing.
0833-300-3300. Tanya's waiting for your call. David is on song tonight. David is filling in for Sinead. As you know, Sinead is our song woman here on Telestar.
This is what we live for. This is what Kerry is about. This is our tradition. This is what we were brought up with. This is what we were brought up to. And there was 2 minute matches today. Sinead is going in and yourself.
Thanks very much indeed for that, Michi. That's about it. That's from Cork Park, Dublin. On our Irish Football Championship Day 2006. Another one. The kingdom. So on a scoreline of Kerry, 4 goals and 15 points. Mayo, 3 goals and 5 points.
We'll be right back.
conversational type. Office says don't mix with the crew.
Gilbert, or The Unfathomable Loneliness of the Deep Space Prospector with Corpse's Orbit. Available via Teletext Records, via Bandcamp, and all of your streaming services. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, and we're still joined in studio by Aaron and Abby of Pretty Happy, ahead of their appearance at Indie 19 this weekend at Deer Farm in Mitchelstown. And before the jump, we were talking about your earliest gigging experiences, how you all came together, and just the real minutiae of what makes Pretty Happy tick in a lot of senses. Taking that into studio, deciding what songs make the cut for your first EP, Ego No Ego, which is also available now via all your streaming services, and we'll hear a track from it later on. Talk to us, I suppose, about the process of whittling it down to a few songs for an EP, working with Andy in particular, and keeping production in-house, and I suppose just the post-production process too, the fun and games of it all.
I think we took our time with it, really.
Yeah.
We weren't kind of... under pressure to do it. Well, we kind of were at the start and we just decided to chill out. Especially Andy deciding to record and produce it. And, you know, he was in final year as well, so like, what an undertaking.
That was it, and it was just like, it was funny because it's like we didn't just get together in a room and we were all like extremely busy. Like, Andy, like me, myself and Andy were in final year, but Andy did engineering and I did English, so there's a big gap there in time. Like, you know, I was in final year, but I could still kind of chill. So it was a long process in terms of the recording. We didn't just, you know, do a long weekend, couple hours. Like, we'd get a recording when we could. I suppose in terms of...
Well, we did all the guitar and bass tracks in one sitting, didn't we?
We did that, but, you know, as in, I'd say, like, you know, getting it song by song, and then, like, you know, it would probably be a week between the guitar and bass and the vocal, like.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime we had free... Well, anytime Andy'd free time, he'd come up, we kind of... a shed type thing that we practice in. So Andy just hooked up my amp, mic'd up the rooms. He got the drum tracks in a different practice room. So we had the drum tracks for a while, and he took his time mixing them before he got onto the guitar tracks and stuff. But I suppose in terms of songs, we wanted a more accurate representation of us, because Talking the Lover just weren't doing the job of... I don't know, we didn't even play them in our live sets anymore, those songs. We're a lot heavier than that, and I think more noisy. So I think we wanted something that at least we could pull out and go, this is the range of Pretty Happy at the moment. So we wanted to kind of pick different songs from our...
I think that was it as well, and I think even that EP... I think it shows, like, we're still... It's like we're finding our sound a bit, and it's like... It's the extremes of our sound, I suppose. And that was the point of those three songs. We tried to pick three songs that were probably most unlike each other in our set, because I think it was just to show our range and just to show, like, myself personally, there's nothing worse than seeing an album that's just song after song in, like, even the same key or the same kind of riff or rhythm. And I can't stand that. I need some sort of variety. I don't like, you know... Well, fair enough if a band gets forward on kind of one sound, but I like a variety in terms of an EP. So
yeah.
I think we went forward and we tried to pick as different as we could.
Yeah, I think, yeah. We had Crabs for a while.
Crabs was funny because...
That's a bad sentence to say. We had Crabs.
No,
That was an old song that we kind of threw out.
Like, we were looking for a third song, and we were like, will we do that? And we were like, that's a bit light. We need something a bit punkier. We need something a bit drivier. And we were like, oh, what will we do? And we picked another couple of songs. We were like, oh, that'd be weird to record. We still have some songs live that we kind of have to wrap our heads around. how we would record them, because they are quite live songs. So we
especially
picked,
kind of pedal heavy. Pedal
heavy.
For Andy's
songs,
sake, we were like, we might leave that off.
No, but it was just like, yeah, and it's just kind of wrapping our heads around in terms of like
structuring
what
it.
Would work being produced, you know, and what would work kind of on the album. But Mr. Krabs is funny because we didn't play that live for ages.
For months.
And like we just, because it was one of the first songs we wrote, and we thought it was just kind of, we're like, ah, oh, it's a stupid song. And it's funny, like,
my guitar takes, like.
Yeah, yeah.
They were awful. I forgot how to play that song. Andy was pulling his hair out, like.
Yeah, and just keep going.
There was about like 6 takes that he cut between. Yeah. Because I literally, he was so sick of me, he was like, I have enough, go away.
Yeah, yeah, that's, just get it down. Like. But we did that song, and I remember like that, we were doing that song and we were recording the vocals upstairs, and it was because we were like, it's, you never know, like a single, like we were extremely happy with the how people responded to the EP, but like you never know how which tracks will be
we
responded
thought
to.
Shut Up would be the favourite.
Yeah, but, yeah. And no,
my favourite now is definitely
Mr. Krabs. Like, we released as a single, but like we were recording the vocals for that. And
in
we,
my bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. We went upstairs to Abby's bedroom because it's a big space, myself and Andy, and we were just doing
had a
it.
Hanger with a pair of my tights over it.
Yeah, that was
and
our...
And then, like, weird mics hanging over it because we had no kind of... What is that?
The gauze, the mesh, like the mic
the
mesh.
The pop filter.
Yeah, yeah. Pop filter.
So we did just this homemade shite in my bedroom.
We were just looking for stuff, and we went
we were
in.
Just writing each other up.
Yeah, we
in
were
in my bedroom.
But
yeah.
That was it. No, the thing was like I remember like me and Andy were just up, and you were like, "Oh, lads, look, just fucking, you know, go for it there. I'm gonna go down for something to eat." I mean, Andy did some joke takes that ended up in the song, like you know, and it was like I think
I left for 2 seconds. I mean, I went down and was like, "Do you want a drink?" We were like, "Yeah." I just hear absolutely stomping and roaring
it was
from
the
upstairs.
Most I've laughed in ages. Me and Andy were crying laughing because we were like, "Oh, do you want to try some weird things?" And it was like for one, it was like. And just doing like weird vocals and
Andy's mixed them in now to the well, honestly like, I think it was just to like get a laugh out of us, you know what I mean, he mixed them in and then we're like, that's kind of cool. Same with the interludes, there's a lot of like, if you listen with headphones, like hidden mistakes from Aaron, like there's weird takes
Andy
of Aaron just
to,
like fecking up and it's Andy's little like Easter eggs to us. You know what I mean? He'll send it to us and be like, did you hear that?
He loves looping in my failed vocal takes into songs. Like, he had that in a song. It was just me going off key, and he, like, looped it or reversed it or whatever, and he was like, that's a whole song now. Was like,
that was the interlude,
yeah. But, I think, but, like, inadvertently then, what that did was kind of made it very similar to our live shows, which is our energy and our humour. I think that's, like, what comes across in our
but
live
But I think
shows
even
is.
The EP made us care a bit less about polishing ourselves isn't the wrong word, because we do put a lot into making sure we're practiced, and you know, if people are going to pay to see us, we want to give them a show, because there's nothing worse than paying to see a band and they're not practiced, they kind of don't care. But definitely, I don't know, pulling away the constraints, I suppose,
yeah,
and just
and
going
thing,
a bit madder, like.
And I think that's our attitude at the moment. It's like
we've gotten worse for that. We've gotten like a bit crazier, and like I don't know, even playing in Mallow, and we knew it'd be a different crowd than like the lads we know from Cork. Like, you know, everyone we know that we're in the crowd are like used to us, and they're up for a kind of madness. Yeah. We went down to Mallow, and we're like, maybe they won't like our kind of craziness. We better ham it up. Like, we better go. We better be like. Worse.
That's what you do, though. If you're, you know. Like, you know, your car is skidding, you stare into the curve. I think that's it. Like, you know, we went down and we were like, look, Mallow, and we were looking around and the crowd, and we were like, this could go either way because these people don't know us. So, yeah, there's no, you can't half-ass it. And if you feel like the energy's a bit, you create the energy. Like, you kind of have to create the energy.
And that's certainly what you did. shout out also to the committee of Mallow Arts Festival for a wonderful weekend.
Yeah,
it was class.
Unbelievable.
Really cool to see.
Yeah, I know. It was really nice because, it was a great energy around the place, and they were so receptive. Like, you know, they were unbelievable. They all came out dancing and everything, you know.
Once the EP is done and dusted, you launch it with a support slot at Dally for Dublin/Cork Grungers. Bitch Falcon, it's the biggest gig that you've played to that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an intersection of sounds between Bitch Falcon and yourselves. You're more leaning toward noise at this stage, whereas Bitch Falcon, kind of grungy tendencies, but also more veering into math as opposed to outright anarchy in the way that Pretty Happy have done so in the last while. Maybe talk to us a little bit about your experience opening up for Bitch Falcon, playing inside in that venue with that massive sound system, and just generally the whole experience of the evening.
That was great. I think it worked out well that our EP was coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
And then Dally got on to us and said, "Do you want to support Bitch Falcon?" And Andy turned it down, firstly. Andy turned it down because he's dissertation due or something. And we were just like, what the fuck, man? You can't, like, we have to play this gig.
No, and in fairness, like, I think that's the thing. He was like, yeah. No,
he was like, okay, yeah, we have to play this gig. Be crack if anything.
Andy probably very well nearly failed his whole degree a couple of times because of gigs, like, you know. And it's bullying because he was like, I'll fail my degree, you can't do it. And I was like, ah, come on, Andy, you have to do it. Come on.
We weren't even like that. We were like, ah, oh, but we'd love to do it. Like,
that's exactly what I just
did. You fucking assholes.
Yeah, peer suggestion. Peer light pressure. Bitch Falcon was unbelievable. In terms of, like, I think, Dally is just one of our favourite venues to play in Cork as well. It's such a huge, like, you get such a huge sound off the system there, and it's like, we've been going there since we were young, since it was the Pav, and it's just this, it is kind of like a historic Cork venue. Like, and it's just playing there is unbelievable, like the stage and everything like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing the Dan Clan.
Yeah, the Dan Clan was one thing. It was a Steely Dan cover band. Plug for them.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going.
They're
not going anymore.
They didn't play last year's Jazz, did they?
Yeah, I don't know. We always went to the pub to see a Steely Dan cover
Every
band called
jazz
the Dan Club.
List, yeah. The Dan Club.
The Dan Clan. But
sounds like a Dan Walsh solo project.
And it was just, we were.
It was cool to play that.
The Dally is just like it's. Dally is like the new Sir Henry's, I think. It's just fantastic, like, you know, it's just
it is cool
techno.
It is a weird mix.
They're doing theatre now up there, like, you know, they had a couple of things on during the midsummer.
They're doing drag.
Yeah, fantastic. It's kind of a very cool new venue. But when we heard, like, Bitch Falcon, like,
I was a fan of Bitch Falcon I think we all were.
No, and it's like, I'd heard of them very early on when I was like fucking, I don't know what age I was, but I was like, you know, you heard rumblings of like, oh, the lads are going up to Dublin to see Bitch Falcon, like, you know. So it was, when I heard that name, I was like, oh my god, you know,
that's cool to be involved with.
Yeah
as well. Lizzie's pedal board, Jesus Christ. I was in awe. I was just like, what do you have? And she was like showing me her pedal. She's like, you're not doing too bad yourself. I was like, oh, that's the biggest compliment. Like,
getting the absolute most out of, because I mean, like, the grunge revivalism thing was very much a strong aspect of Bitch Falcon's earlier stuff, which can be gotten the self-titled EP, which kind of collected a bunch of early singles and videos. I believe they got the album coming out later on in the year
soon.
And you know, I can kind of see the parallels, alright, in terms of how tones and textures etc. kind of boost or make interesting something that might be a little bit familiar for long time genre fans. So that's the cool aspect of, I suppose, Pretty Happy getting to support Bitch Falcon in that respect. As mentioned earlier on in the show, you do have your own headlining slot finally for the first time, only last week at the Roundy, and you talked about it in a little bit of detail earlier on in the show. Maybe talk to us a slight bit in detail about booking Land Crabs, dealing with Land Crabs, I suppose the intricacies of playing the Roundy, and I suppose the importance of the Roundy to yourselves in your own creative development.
I think Plugged is, the Roundy is really important for the Cork scene. Jim is the soundest guy to deal with. I did a lot of Angry Mom events there, and he's just been so great, and he's been at them and just making sure we're supported, and it's a lovely, lovely venue, and he's lovely to deal with. So I really wanted to, I don't know, do it there and support Jim as much as he supports us, you know. It should be give and take.
Shout out to Jimmy Horgan.
I love that dude.
But it's just, and it's like such a lovely venue as well, like, you know what I mean? And it's just,
it's cool. There's some cool gigs there, like every weekend.
But Jim could be like, you know, he could be throwing some kind of cover band up there and charging on the door and making a lot more profit. But like, Jim is just, he's going for it, and he's giving bands a platform, and he's giving back to the community, and he cares more about the creativity rather than, you know, just making more profit, like, which is I think that's a very admirable trait, like, you know, and it is giving a platform for more, like, younger musicians and in that term of things. And we're so lucky for that, for our headline slot, to have such a great venue.
Because there's not a lot of venues, but that that venue is great, and they've great sound guys like Aaron, who did the sound for our our launch. Was
Aaron, who's in Lola.
Yeah, he was in the Vincents as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember them. I actually really like them.
Yeah. Song of the Sea is one of my favourite Cork songs, full stop.
They were brilliant. I saw them open for Billy Idol in the Marquee. I just was like, who the fuck are they? They're cool.
Yeah. It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to consider everything that's kind of happened and those kind of appearances.
It's weird, yeah. Then to, I kind of recognised him. I was like, were you in it? He was like, oh, fuck's sake, yeah, I was.
Yeah.
But he was great, and it's just the nice venue. There's a good sound system in there. And even the bartenders are great to deal with.
But it is, in fairness, and you always, and like, if there is a plug to gig on and you don't know any of the bands on the bill, go to it anyway, because like, that's what
they're
I did.
They're always good, yeah.
They're always good, they're always weird, it's always something different. You might find your new favourite band there. Like,
the art scene there is great as well. I think there's a lot of performative pieces, more than just your kind of generic bands. A lot of weird shit goes on Unplugged, like, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's always been the way, though,
yeah.
in the last 15, 16 years, when the Black Mariah was upstairs from the old Plugged on Washington Street. Same thing with them having gigs in the electrical station in Caroline Street when they had to move away from there. Mm. Same thing with the agreement with the Black Mariah, again, accompanying Plugged to over at the Triskel.
Mm.
Like, Plugged has always kind of led the front on the avant-garde, not just in terms of peddling records, not just in terms of booking weird bands, but in being a permissive and independent art space in the city, and especially around the time that the Four Walls started kind of closing in on that kind of freedom, about 10 or so years back, and even to an extent now, any kind of new places that are opening up, like, again, there are new music venues opening up, even Winthrop Avenue, though, being soft announced last week, but like, a lot of new bars opening up, you know, not necessarily there for the interest of, you know, sustaining music or arts in the city. And, you know, fair enough, pubs are pubs, some pubs are pubs, that's fine and well, but, you know, you kind of see the potential of some places, and for one reason or another it doesn't necessarily happen. But you also had an appearance this weekend at Valley of the Arts in Tip.
That was good crack.
Yeah, it was great crack. It was a funny festival. I think, like, that was one place where, like, we put on a weird stage show. Like, I mean, I was
we
out,
were just wrecked,
like, you know,
as well, like,
we were wrecked. Yeah, it was a 3
so it was kind of weirder.
My throat was starting to go. It was our
my
third day.
My back was
gigging.
Gone from Mallow.
We had done like Roundy Thursday, Mallow Friday, and then Saturday was our Tip set, and it was funny because it's the kind of place, like, you know, it was an arts festival. There was all sorts of things. I mean, there was a comedian like 2 acts before us on our stage, so it was all mismatched, and it was really fun.
It was a weird stage. It was like the Hillbilly Shack. It was just literally, it was in the middle of nowhere in Tip.
Yeah,
it's like
the garden,
it's, I think it's only been running a few years, and these lads just, it was a party in the woods that they made a festival. And
like, there's like, I think I did, and I did the same thing in Tip that I did in Mallow. Like, I got off stage and I ran around the place kind of crying, like fake crying and kind of grabbing onto people and stuff, and kind of, but it's funny because in Tip I ran off stage and I ran towards people and I was like crying and I had mascara on and I had a sleeveless top and I was like just doing weird stuff and people just thought it was just festival stuff, you know what I mean? No one reacted. They were like, oh, it's just your man's having a bad trip or whatever, like, you know. I was just off stage trying to I was like, okay, well,
you ran a lap of, like, it was the festival,
it was
so small you could like walk it in a minute. So I just ran a lap while me and Andy droned, like,
it was a very stupid decision, because I think the whole point of it was that, and I think I did it in Mallow as well, it's like I went in one door and came back in the other, so it just, maybe for comedic effect, I suppose, but I was just in the moment and I just ran a lap of the festival, you know, on my third
just
day of gigging,
back covered in dirt, like,
yeah, my knees were gone, I was just rolling, like, you know. But
very Eric Andre, actually,
very no, but that's it. No, and I think, like, I think we always try to bring something like that into our gigs, of just like that. It's,
I think most of it isn't even for the viewer's pleasure. I think if I go a bit mad playing, it gets me way more into it.
Yeah, it's like, there's nothing more uncomfortable than being on stage and being still. Because when you're on stage, when you've people looking on you, I think your normal reaction is just to freak out, go, you know. And
you
just
overthink a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas if, I don't know, I feel like I almost black out every gig. I can't, like, I'll come off stage and I can't really remember it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's how I know if I've, like, had a good gig or enjoyed the gig.
It's a terrible
Yeah, it's so bad. But if I remember the gig and remember what I was thinking on
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, I know, but that's true, yeah.
I knew it was a bad gig for me, bad performance wise. Yeah, yeah, but Tip was fun. We were very, very tired, but we threw ourselves into it.
I think that's it, yeah.
Sleep deprivation could be a hell of a thing for any band. Just look what Faith No More did in the absence of drugs and serious alcohol, just with Mike Patton and coffee. Do you know?
Coffee, yeah. Coffee's our savior, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, we
did a few cans, all right.
Oh,
I think
cans,
that was probably
yeah.
the death of us. Just the drink yeah. of the weekend. You know, I have a 3-drink rule for myself. I'll have 3 pints before I go on.
Yeah.
So I can, like, loosen up and...
Like, early on, though, it's like, I think you need that. Thing. We've done gigs without drink and it's been fine. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's more of a
ritual.
It's
an early ritual, yeah. Because yeah. when I was nervous starting off, I'd have 2-3 pints. So I wouldn't be nervous.
Yeah. But at the same
and
time,
it's stuck now.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. But I think...
Usually we don't gig in, like, such close, like, kind of clusters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that might be our night out. We mightn't see Andy between college and work and stuff, or I mightn't see you. So it's like three of us are like, yeah, we have a pint. How you been?
Yeah, yeah.
How's your mother?
She's your mother.
When we come back, we'll return to the festival circuit with the pretty happy overview of Indie 19 happening this weekend at Deer Farm in Mitchelstown. But first, we're going to go back to some more tunes. You have Happy Alone with What Do You Want From Me?
I love those lads.
Yeah,
they're doing really well.
Unbelievable stuff. Like, just
it's cool to see. We kind of started out when Happy Alone became a thing. It's cool to see, like, how far they've gotten and stuff. Yeah.
And in terms of the songs they're producing at the moment, it's unparalleled. Like, just some great, very original stuff. Like, you know,
it's really cool to see, like, the Cork scene kind of being spread out internationally. I don't know. It's nice.
Speaking of people making original music, you're following that with Messing, and to give this song its full title, Japanese Capital Punishment or La Pizza Galaxy Stole Our Green Diesel.
I listened to this first. I was lying down in my bed and closing my eyes, and it felt like a horror movie. It just scared me. Like,
I was hungover when I first listened to it. I had to turn it off.
Listen to the Hernan Crespo EP or tape, the Hernan Crespo tapes.
Some of my favorite releases of the year.
Like, listen to that. Close your eyes. If you're in a bad way, listen to that.
Don't.
Like, it'll bring you to places. Like, it's like, whoa.
Get on this. This is Happy Alone with What Do You Want From Me here on Red On Red.
Oh,
With Japanese Capital Punishment, or La Pizza Galaxy Stole Our Green Diesel, taken from the divinely inspired The Hearn and Crespo tapes, available from Scald Wave Records on Bandcamp. This is Red on Red, still joined in studio by Aaron and Abby from Pretty Happy, ahead of their big gig this weekend at Indie 19 Festival. Tickets still available over at independencefestival.com. A massive lineup that kind of takes the usual Independence Festival remit of mixing up new talent with established headliners for what is an increasingly broad audience over the last couple of years. My experience with Independence, at the height of my attendance of it, would have been, you know, a 5,000 cap festival that would have had a lot of the kind of the alt rock heroes of the time, along with a lot of local stuff. But, you know, last year the hip hop tent opening up, over just kind of acknowledging the changes that are happening, booking some kind of tropical house poppy stuff like Sigala, and just generally kind of balancing and acknowledging the fact that it's a different crowd that has slowly come through over the last couple of years. You know, there's the mix of still the indie folk, but also, you know, a summer festival crowd that has really kind of made it what it is. And it's a packed schedule, but before we get into a full preview of the lineup, including Pretty Happy's own personal favourites, maybe talk to us about your thoughts heading into the show.
We're excited. We're just hanging down for the Sunday because we're playing Workman's on the Saturday night in Dublin, supporting Felonies. So we just decided to go for the day with work and stuff like that.
No, it's going to be fun though. I think Indie's like the biggest festival we've played so far, and it's just going to be, you know, and just...
I always wanted to go, actually, and I never have, especially being on our own kind of front door. It's a nice festival to have. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's cool to see like young acts mix with the old kind of established, as you said. We have some friends playing as well, like Cherim and Happy Alone. So that's nice to see.
No, completely. And it's like it's funny, like even the guys from Cherim, like I consider them good friends at this point, and we've only met each other probably like 4 or 5 times now, but like they came down to Cork, we supported them, and then we met them for K-Fest again, and we're going to meet them hopefully, I'm not sure we'll meet them now, we're on different days, but it's like you get weird like relationships like that, like, you know, they're from Derry, aren't they?
Weird connections you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, you just see him, he just hugs, and it's like, how are you getting on with your tours and all that?
Genuinely a great time for them. They're so just helpful as well, and like even for Angry Mom, Hannah, the guitarist, shares so much Angry Mom stuff, and she's so supportive, wants to get down for a gig, so they're the best. Go listen to Jerem, they're really cool.
And you'll get to bump into them at Indie 19 this weekend. Let's go through the schedule, shall we? It's available now on the Indie 19 app, which is available from your phone's respective app stores, which, you know, it's quite nifty. I wish they'd had this, you know, a couple of years ago, where you can go through your entire schedule, you can kind of star off the things you want to see, you can check if anything is clashing and what have you, and it's all fantastic. But Friday, you know, kicking off early for early arrivers with a couple of gigs happening at the Big Top stage, some stuff at the main stage. But you've got a couple of highlights that you want to talk about yourselves in more detail. You were discussing Dagny playing the main stage at 10 to 8 on Friday night.
Yeah, there was this song last summer, Wearing Nothing, that my housemate would play over and over again. So it's just such a good kind of pop tune that would put you in a good mood. So I'd love to see her play. Yeah, sorry, that song's like such a summer song. I actually have to go listen to it after this. But yeah, I'm excited for that on the Saturday. Bastille as well, I wouldn't mind seeing. And then there's the big boy,
to clarify,
Lewis
Dagny's
Scrawley.
Actually on the Friday, so if you want to see Dagny,
come on the Friday.
Sorry,
on the Friday.
Yeah.
We're going through it in order.
Yeah, yeah. Come on,
yeah,
Abby.
Dagny. So is Lewis Scrawley, isn't he?
Yeah, he is on the Friday at 9 o'clock.
Big boy.
The funniest singer-songwriter on Twitter.
At yeah,
completely.
Saturday usually kind of serves up the deepest selection because it's right in the heart of the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
August Bank Holiday weekend. Maybe talk to us about some of your highlights.
Definitely Cherim.
Yeah, we have Cherim, like, you know, obviously great friends of ours and great live act. Like, check them out, you know. That's it.
Their live show is really cool. Like, they really leave it on the stage.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously the recorded stuff is so fucking, it's great. It's unbelievable. But, like,
you really see their personalities on stage. They're funny out. They're really, really sound. If you're at Indie, go check them out.
There's no bullshit about them. They just play
the
stage
at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, and we have Happy Alone, as we talked about. They're always great. I mean, the lads, they've
really, like, refined their
They've gone through a couple of different live shows, and I remember seeing them at, it was in the Cypress Avenue recently.
We Happy Alone are playing Sunday, aren't they?
Saturday.
And they have a lineup now, and it's like they're doing a half, like, they have the sample pads, they have a guitar, and they have
the drums.
The
drummer now.
So it's such
that
a
music
big,
cork when they're at Music Cork.
It was such a big live sound, though. They were unbelievable.
Holy
and it's
shit,
really,
yeah.
Like, it's such a different mix. Like, I've seen them without a drum kit, I've seen them with it, and I've seen them a lot of different versions of them. But I think
this is it
because it's like you have the kick of a live band, you have the bass drum of a kit, but you also have the sample band, and you have the lovely melodies that they create, like, you know.
And Fionn's passion, like, he puts everything into it. It's mad to see because he literally Cork's. Was it Music Cork? Yeah. He literally, like,
he shits out his soul on stage.
Sunday is another big day for stuff happening below at Indie 19 to kind of bring things to a close, including yourselves. But maybe talk to us through a lot of highlights that you've kind of established here for yourselves in the My Event function.
Yeah.
I mean, freaking straight away,
Undertones.
Undertones is unbelievable. Like, you know, I can't wait to catch them. Like,
And on the Imbro stage, so it's like a nice intimate.
Completely. Like, you know, it'd be a lovely spot there. You've other kin as well.
Yeah, I really, really want to see Pow Pig.
Really like unbelievable. Well. Yeah.
And fucking Thumper as well.
Thumper, we saw Thumper.
Their live show was insane.
God, like, they have two drum kits. It was the four guitar players.
Yeah,
they barely fit on that Cypress Avenue stage.
Yeah,
and that's a big stage.
They were just running around, and it was unbelievable. Like, they were, yeah.
There's some Egypt called Pretty Happy. They seem to be playing the beer hall stage.
Yeah,
I don't rate them.
I'd say.
Yeah. I heard half the set is just sad stand up. So I don't know.
Sad stand up.
Yeah.
Awful.
Awful.
Yeah.
Other highlights, of course, include the Frank and Walters Cork Institution themselves playing the big top. You also have Biffy Clyro to really bring the whole thing to a close.
It's unbelievable. Like, just those two acts to be on a bill with those, it's just so, like, you know, we wouldn't have thought about it last year. Like, it's just great to be sharing a fucking bill with them on the same day, you know. It's
came to see him as well, especially like three of us as a thing that we just get to have a lovely day, you know what I mean?
That's the one thing we do at festivals as well. It's like once, and you almost, like, we talked to other bands about this as well, it's like you prefer earlier slot because you get the day at the festival then, and you get to spend the day, and you just, you know, you have a laugh, you have a bit of crack, and you go to see Frank Walters and Biffy, like, you know, it's gonna
have
be unbelievable. It's an unbelievable end to our set, like, you know.
And that group of gigs, it's a nice way after, what was it, like 5 gigs and something like 10 days. Or a week even. We get to absolutely chill out at Indie now and not have to worry about what's coming next. We can kind of chill out and at the gig enjoy it, and then maybe, I suppose, after the festival start writing again and get into it again. But yeah, we'll have a break for a while.
But it's handy that you mention making the day out of the festival, because weekend tickets are sold out. Friday day tickets are absolutely sold out. IndependenceFestival.com is the only place that you can get Saturday and Sunday day tickets. The whole breakdown is available on the Indie 19 app. And the full lineup is, of course, available across their social media and at IndependenceFestival.com. We'll talk a little bit more about what's over the horizon that you were kind of hinting at there in just a wee bit. But first, we're going to go back to some more tunes. You have this show's in-house beat composer with Gaptooth and Overdue.
That was Andy's pick.
No, he pushed for that song. He really likes, he says it's an unbelievable Cork producer at the moment. He's a huge fan.
Yeah, and he'd be into the more producing side of things. And,
yeah. I think, you know, obviously we talked about his production already, but he kind of does, he does look out for the more intricate and interesting things that people do in terms of production. So, yeah.
Gapdoof got my attention a couple of years ago when he was nostalgic with the X, kind of like Knowledge.
Okay.
And the B-Tape Motorola actually forms the foundation of the bed music on this podcast.
Oh, nice.
Like, it's just one of those things where it just immediately fit. Like, this is, when we were putting together the podcast, I had been listening to Motorola for about a year or two beforehand. It was like, this is it. This is what I want this show to feel like and sound like. And, you know, he's come on leaps and bounds even since then, you know. You also have Elaine Malone with My Baby's Dead. This is like the sixth week in a row now or something that the that this tune has been on this podcast.
It's a cool tune,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
She's class as well.
She is. Part of Land Crabs.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Why, Brooks, that's what put Land Crabs into my head, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had her for an Angry Mom gig.
Yeah.
I was like, you're in Land Crabs. She was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Very humble. I was like, oh, yeah, do you want to do a gig? She's like, get on to me. So that's kind of why I was like, come on, we do a headline, get Land Crabs.
And, yeah, no, I saw Elaine at, I've seen her play twice now. I saw her as Elaine Malone and I saw her as Mantua with the violinist. But just, yeah, no,
Holy shit, man, everything
she does, she can be so, she can, like, with Land Crabs, she can be so big and so energetic. But
that's
she,
Garth Brooks, though. Come on.
That's, sorry, Garth Brooks, the artist known as Garth Brooks. But
only
as
her, Garth Brooks.
Yeah, sorry.
Garth Brooks.
basically, yeah, but Elaine herself, her stuff, like, is just haunting. Like, you know, she's able to just.
Cool stuff. The music video is class as well. Really, really cool.
And we'll hear from Elaine in a wee bit, but first, this is Gaptoof with Overdue here on Red On Red. We'll be right back. Malone with My Baby's Dead here on Red on Red. And just before we wrap up this episode of the podcast, Aaron and Abby of Pretty Happy, where can we hear you online? What are you up to next? Is there anyone that you'd like to defame or put a hex on? The mic is yours.
Who can we put a hex on?
A hex on?
Glassy Overture.
I think he's been coming around talking mad trash about the Cork music scene.
Asshole, yeah.
No, he's Glassy Overture at the moment, I think, is number one big fool boy trying to be something he's not. I think he needs to pull up his socks and get a real job.
A real job.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah. Mr. English degree.
Yeah. Well, I think in terms of plugs, like, you can find us on Spotify.
You're getting real now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, okay, cool. Yeah, someone's got to. We're on Spotify, we're on Facebook, YouTube. We make stupid videos on Facebook.
Yeah,
as well.
No, I'm sorry. We played an all ages gig. I have to cut you off there. We played an all ages gig recently because I'm being serious now. I think it's very important to kind of get the youth involved.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to your inclusivity. Like, they literally can't come into a gig because they're not 18.
Yeah, I've gone stopped saying I can't go to your gigs. We listen to your Spotify, I can't go to your gigs because venues won't let us in. So it's like, we have to play in all ages, because I remember sneaking into Aaron's band when I was 16. I hid under a piano in Cypress Avenue during soundcheck for
How did you get past Cypress Avenue?
I jumped the stage doors, the load and stage doors, and ran up.
She hid.
So it's
in a little escalator going up.
No, it literally under a piano that was in the side bar. I hid under where the footstool was supposed to go. I was just lying in there, and then I just randomly slid out when no one was looking, and just loved that gig. It was a school night and everything. I was late. It was class. But yeah, important to do youth gigs, I think, and make sure everyone's involved. But
you did at the ground floor then?
Ground floor, yeah. We had subbed out in the drive, so subbed out of class.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play at the Love Buzz soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd catch them. For young lads, they're brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Punky madness as well.
Yeah.
Mm. But we're on, obviously there's guidelines, the lads weren't allowed to take their shirts off. Because Andy always drums shirtless. We were warned about that. And, you know, we were being very good, not swearing, things like that. Aaron's final announcement is, oh yeah, you can find us all, you can find Pretty Happy on SoundCloud, Spotify, you can find Abby on Tinder. Just to a room full of 15-year-olds, and we were like, Jesus Christ,
it was
the one thing,
and it wasn't even a stock line, I don't know, it just happened. But you know, it's like, you kind of
have to
roll with the punches, and if you're not true to you, who the hell are you going to be true to, is what I say.
But, thanks, is that
to myself.
To yourself.
Yeah, no, but as I was saying, anyway, before that preamble.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're on
me
Spotify.
Me rambling. Oh, okay.
We're on Spotify. We do some videos on YouTube as well. We have 3 music videos out. We did the latest one ourselves.
Shout out to Emily Power, too.
Yeah, Emily Power is an unbelievable director. If anyone needs a video doing, get on to her. But, and we also did the latest one ourselves, and it's just mental. We did
ourselves, class.
Abby directed it.
Classics.
We did it around Cork City, and that was a lot of fun. But yeah, no, I suppose that would be everything at the moment. Listen to us on Spotify, get us on Apple Music, Deezer. What else are we on?
Tunehounds.org.
Is that a thing?
No.
Tunehounds.org. Tunehounds with 4 Z's.
You can find Aaron in any local sandwich shop.
Yeah, basically.
Jordan's the bad boy, too.
That's our plugs, anyway.
Class. What else is there? No, it's probably someone else. Oh, Workman's.
Workman's, yeah. We're going to be in Workman's Saturday if anyone wants to trek up. We're supporting Felonies. It's going to be the bank holiday weekend blowout. It's on the Saturday. We're playing there. It's going to be great.
Big blow.
Yeah, it's Workman's are organising it, so, and they're,
it's free entry as well.
Hopefully I won't blow up my voice for Indy then. That's something.
It's a promise.
That's a promise.
It's a promise right now, sorry.
That's about all for this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast from Red FM and tunehounds.org. Thank you very much to Pretty Happy for joining us this episode.
Cheers, Mike.
Thanks
a million.
Thanks, Mike.
And thank you very much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please take the time to subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as other podcasting platforms. Make sure to check out all of our previous episodes, also available on redextra.ie, dating right back to January 2019. Got some exciting stuff coming up on the podcast, so any spreading of the word that you can do is much appreciated as we try and spread the gospel of DIY music in Cork City, including sharing this on your social media and making sure to check out the artists featured online or at an upcoming gig. And if you'd like more Irish tunes, please be sure to listen in to Green on Red on Sunday night with Alan O'Donovan, with the best of all that is Irish on Cork's Red FM, 104 to 106. Well, you're leaving us with one of your own tracks. Mr. Krabs has been dissected and discussed at length earlier on in the show. So what's left to say about the tunes before the good people hear it?
You.
Yeah, I guess just go for it. You know what I mean? Have an open mind. Don't judge a book
you
by its cover.
You can't see a rainbow if there's a fog in your brain.
Listen, lads. No, thanks a lot, Mike. Mr. Krabs.
Sorry, lads, I fucked it.
This has been Red on Red, and we'll talk to you next week.
Children walk the streets of all. How many need a home? How many walk the streets? Look for stuff to eat. When how many days they have left in their cage? They have left in their life. They have left in their strife. They have left in their life. They strive. They dodge the knife. Locate the aid and then begin anew again. I think I fall in love. Sophisticated fun. Need a taste to bleed. Only taste to see. They have all the right. She is so beside. Take care of yourself. I'm blind and dead in hell. Respect. Watch me give a damn. You give a man a squeeze the top. Bubbles make the vertical stop.
Don't judge me.
Should've given up now yesterday. Now it's time to stop me. You dodged the knife. You know what's right. It's filled aside, it's filled aside. You dodged the knife, you know what's right. It's filled aside, it's filled aside. Sit by the phone and wait. Wonder if he'll call, if he's got the balls. Grab him by the hair, you can take him anywhere. When how many days he has left in his cage? He has left in his life, he has left in his strife. He has left in his life. She is so upset. Take care of yourself. Blind and dead in hell. The camera not to squeeze the top. Cause bubbles make the point go pop. Should've given up now yesterday. And now it's time to stop the play. You dodged the knife. Know what's right. It's filled aside. It's filled aside. You dodge the knife. You know what's right. It's filled aside. It's filled aside.
Red on Red.